Last week, we began to look at what the Bible teaches about discipleship. We looked at the structure of discipleship. Discipleship is imitation. That as disciples, we are to imitate the humility, selflessness, and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the way we learn to do so is through keeping our eyes on, watching carefully, observing other disciples of Jesus Christ. We also looked at the force of discipleship. Discipleship is the work of God. That as Christians, our work, as believers, our obedience, as disciples, our imitation is always preceded by the work of God on our behalf. That as the people of God, we have been reconciled with God. That is, God's presence and power is favorably working amongst us. And such reconciliation has been brought about through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the structure of discipleship is imitation. The force of discipleship is the work of God. And as I left you last week, we were saying we were going to look at the product of discipleship. What is the process of discipleship to produce? What is to be the outcome? What is to be the result? To do so, we're going to look at explore what the Apostle Paul means exactly by a manner of life worthy of the gospel of Christ. What does it look like to live, or to use the biblical language, to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ? We're going to see this morning that such living means that we walk together, we walk differently, and we walk through suffering. So what is the product of discipleship? What is the outcome of us imitating the humility, selflessness, and sacrifice of Jesus Christ? What is the result of God's presence and power working amongst us? It is none other than that we walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. Discipleship is for walking worthy of the gospel of Christ. If you're not already there, I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at beginning in verse 27. It's here that we find the Apostle Paul challenging the Philippian believers to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. And we want to see, first of all, that this means that we walk together. Disciples walk together. The process of discipleship is to produce a manner of life worthy of the gospel of Christ. That is, as disciples of Jesus Christ, our lives are defined by unity of both being and purpose. Our lives are defined by both a unity of being and purpose. We read in chapter 1, verse 27 of Philippians, Paul says this: "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." The Apostle Paul has hopeful expectation for the Philippian believers. But he's unsure whether he'll be able to come and see them or not, because he's writing this letter from jail. And so he's not sure if he'll be able to come and see them and experience it in person or only hear about it. Nevertheless, despite the uncertainty of his situation, he has definite hopes, expectations for them. As we read in verse 27, he says that you are standing firm in one spirit. The Apostle Paul desires that the Philippian believers, or the believers at Philippi, God desires that the believers at West Church stand firm in one spirit. Stand firm, West Church. That is, be committed. Persevere in your commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is no secret that such a commitment is getting less and less popular these days. It's precisely because our culture is becoming more hostile to biblical Christianity that we need to hear over and over again, stand firm. Don't back down. Keep going. Our culture is not neutral. There are forces mounting, just like there were in Philippi, to diminish, to denigrate, and ultimately destroy our faith. And if we naively think that we won't be affected, we will stumble and fall. Therefore, West Church, stand firm. We have to understand, though, that to stand firm can't be done alone. Paul says, staying firm in one spirit. The only way that we're going to stand firm, the only way that West Church is going to persevere in its commitment to Christ is to recognize, acknowledge, and operate within the reality that we exist in one spirit. That is, that each and every believer here this morning is united in the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, he writes this. He says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are defined by unity of being. That is, we are defined by the reality that we exist united in the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us has been baptized in one spirit. As we are united with Christ, we are united with each other. It is, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, "For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." As we are united with Christ, we are united with each other. West Church, you are united in the Holy Spirit. This is what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. Therefore, on this basis, in light of this reality, stand firm. Persevere in your commitment to Jesus Christ. Back in Philippians 1, Paul continues, saying, "With one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." The language he uses here conjures up the image of soldiers fighting together, side by side, unified, as if they were fighting as one person. So strive, West Church. Strive. Strive as one person for the faith of the gospel. That means work together to both share and demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are defined, or we have unity of purpose. That is, we are unified in the purpose that God has called us all to minister the gospel to each other inside the church and to minister the gospel to those outside the church. That's what it means to be striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Our purpose together is to share and demonstrate the gospel inside the church and outside the church. See, we can't miss the fact, though, the truth that Paul connects our unity of being with our unity of purpose. That is a such ministry of ministering the gospel inside and outside the church is only going to be accomplished with one mind. That's to say, as one person, we are doing it in a unified way. And we're only going to be with one mind, as one person, when once again we are recognizing, operating within the reality that we are united in one spirit, that each and every one of us are united in the Holy Spirit. Our unity of purpose is founded upon our unity of being. That is to say, our unity in the Holy Spirit is the foundation for our ministering the gospel inside and outside the church. Recently, much time at West Church has been spent in considering, organizing, and performing outreach. And this is good, right, and appropriate. But let us not think for a moment that our outreach will be fruitful if we are not striving together with one mind, if we are not standing firm in one spirit, if we are not working together. If we want our outreach to be fruitful, let us hear this morning, we must walk together. The key to fruitful outreach is a commitment to unity. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we enjoy a unity of being. That is, we are united in the Holy Spirit and a unity of purpose. We have all been called to minister the gospel inside and outside the church. So we've seen so far, as we looked at what Paul means by a manner of life worthy of the gospel of Christ, which is to be the product of the process of discipleship, means to we walk together. We walk together. That as Christians, we exist as united in the Holy Spirit, for in one spirit we are all baptized into one body. And such unity of being leads us to our unity of purpose. That as Christians, we are all called to minister the gospel inside and outside the church. Surely, such ministry may look different from person to person. We have different gifts. But all our efforts are to work together with one mind, that is, as one person. To walk worthy of the gospel of Christ means we walk together. Let us turn now and see that to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ also means we walk differently. Disciples walk differently. The process of discipleship is to produce a manner of life worthy of the gospel of Christ. That is, as disciples of Jesus Christ, our lives are to be distinct from those of this world. Our lives are to be distinct from those of this world. Paul says in Philippians 1:28, "And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God." This time, the culture was hostile to the gospel. There were many who opposed the truth and proclamation of God's word. Our closest piece of evidence of this is, as alluded to before, Paul is writing this letter from jail. Paul has been in prison because of his commitment to Christ, facing the prospect of losing his life. But as we read earlier, no matter he's hopeful no matter what happens to him. For me, he says in 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Nevertheless, he is concerned about whether the believers of Philippi will be able to face or to withstand the growing hostility against the gospel. And what he says in verse 28 here implies that some were being frightened by the opposition. Because he says, and not being frightened by anything, by those who oppose you. Such opposition was a reality, for the Philippians themselves were being marked as different. As all those around them were hailing Caesar as Lord, they served another Lord, namely Jesus Christ. And such a contrast inevitably was going to become public as the Roman citizens of Philippi came together, united by the power of the empire, side by side, hailing Caesar as Lord and paying respect to their multitude of gods. Here were the believers of Philippi coming together, united in the Holy Spirit, hailing Jesus Christ as Lord and serving him side by side in every aspect of their lives. Indeed, the Philippian believers were going to be marked out as different. They served a different Lord. Therefore, by definition, their lives were going to be lived differently. We walk differently. Disciples walk differently. We can get a better sense of this distinctive living by looking later on in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18. Paul is mourning over those who have claimed Christ or named Christ, but have not lived according to the gospel. They are living according to the culture around them. He says, "For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." So there were those who had named Christ, but lived according to the pattern and passions of this world. Patterns and passions that the apostle names in verse 19 when he says, "Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things." This is the way of the world. The world is headed for destruction. The world is ruled by their appetites. The world celebrates the obscene. The world is focused merely on the here and now. Paul thinks of those who have named Christ and but are living according to such patterns and passions, and he weeps. He says, "I think of them with tears." It was so hard for the Apostle Paul because he understood how transforming the gospel was to be on our lives. That we were to live differently because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. That it changes everything. That instead of being headed for destruction, our destiny is salvation. That instead of being ruled by our appetites, we are ruled by the Holy Spirit. Instead of celebrating the obscene, we celebrate whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise. Instead of focusing on the merely on the here and now, Yes, we live in the here and now, but in light of a coming and eternal kingdom. The gospel is to change everything. Paul reminds us of the basis of this going on in verse 20 in chapter 3, when he says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." The reality of the person and work of Jesus Christ means that we are to live differently. It's because of Jesus Christ that we live differently. Discipleship is nothing less than our lives, which were once lived according to the pattern and passions of this world, being progressively transformed to be lived according to the reality of the person and work of Jesus Christ. We are to walk differently. Disciples walk differently. We've been looking this morning at what it means to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ, which is the product, the result, the outcome of the process of discipleship. We saw first that this means that we walk together. As belonging to the body of Christ, we exist in one spirit, united to each other by the Holy Spirit. And such unity of being is our foundation for our unity of purpose, that as belonging to the body of Christ, we are all called to minister the gospel inside and outside the church. And we also saw that to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ means that we walk differently. That the reality of the person and work of Jesus Christ is to transform the way we live, that it's because of Jesus Christ that our lives are to be distinguishable from those of this world. And lastly, we want to see that to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ means that we walk through suffering. Disciples walk through suffering. The process of discipleship is to produce a manner of life worthy of the gospel of Christ. That is, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to prepare to be persecuted. We are to prepare to be persecuted. If you look back in Philippians 1, verse 29, Paul says this, For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. As 21st century Western Christians, this verse should stop us in our tracks. And do we really hear what Paul is saying here? That God has not only given, granted, graced us to believe in Jesus Christ, but God gives, he grants, he graces us to suffer for Jesus Christ. Suffering for the gospel is a gift of God. Suffering, to experience persecution, is the normal experience of disciples of Jesus Christ. It is true that such has not been the case for us where and when we live. But let us fully understand the ease, the comfort, the freedom that we worship God with is an anomaly. That's to say that the ease, the comfort, the freedom that we worship God with has not been the experience of many Christians throughout church history or many Christians around the world today. I think the majority of us have heard this and understand it in our heads, but I think we have to ask all of us, are we ready to experience suffering? Are we prepared to be persecuted. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 4:12, writes this, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Suffering, we shouldn't be surprised at suffering. Suffering isn't something strange for the disciples of Jesus Christ. Why shouldn't suffering surprise us? Why shouldn't suffering be something that isn't strange for the disciples of Jesus Christ? It's precisely because of what Jesus told his disciples. If we look back in John, in chapter 15, starting in verse 18, he says this. This is what Jesus, speaking to his disciples, he says this. "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Therefore, the reason why suffering shouldn't surprise us, that it isn't strange for the disciples of Jesus Christ, is because, as we looked at last week, discipleship is imitation. Imitation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if Jesus suffered, if he experienced persecution and we want to be his disciples, then we have to prepare. We have to be ready and willing to suffer. If you remember from last week, we looked at how Paul had a passion to imitate Christ. We looked at a particular verse back in Philippians 3, verse 10, where he says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." The Apostle Paul understood and was fully committed to the reality that the disciples of Jesus Christ both share in the power of the resurrection, but also, and equally so, in the sufferings of Christ. Disciples of Jesus Christ share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. If we look again over at 1 Peter 4, I'll read verse 12 again, but then 13. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to prepare to be persecuted. The process of discipleship is to produce a manner of life worthy of the gospel of Christ, and this means nothing less than that we are ready and willing to walk through suffering. This morning we've been looking at what the process of discipleship, what it's to produce, what's to be the result, the outcome of discipleship. And to do this, we've explored what Paul means by a manner of life worthy of the gospel of Christ. We first saw that this means that we walk together. That as disciples of Jesus Christ, we enjoy both a unity of being and purpose. That is to say that we enjoy a unity in the Holy Spirit, and a unity in ministering the gospel inside and outside the church. We next saw that to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ means we walk differently. That is, as disciples, Our lives are to take their cues from the person and work of Jesus Christ and not the pattern and passions of this world. It is because of Jesus Christ that we are to walk differently. And lastly, we saw that to walk worthy of the gospel means we walk through suffering. That as disciples of Jesus Christ, as those who have been called to imitate him, to share in his sufferings, that we are to be ready to suffer. As Jesus Christ said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Discipleship is for walking worthy of the gospel of Christ. Indeed, it means we learn to walk together, walk differently, to walk through suffering. But let us realize the reason why the process of discipleship is to produce us walking together, us walking differently, us walking through suffering is because God desires our lives individually, corporally, to be a living demonstration of the gospel. A living demonstration of the gospel. And this by no means diminishes us speaking the gospel, but rather it's to stress that our speaking of the gospel is to be grounded in lives that have been transformed by the gospel. God spoke or gave promises to his people throughout history, from the time of the patriarchs to the times of the prophets. God spoke. He spoke of his character, of love and holiness. However, as important as his words are, he did not stop there. God's speech, God's word was made incarnate. God's speech, God's words were demonstrated in a life lived. Specifically, God's speech, God's words were demonstrated in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, as his people, God desires that, yes, we speak his truth, we speak of his love and his holiness, but also that our lives demonstrate such truth. This is why the process of discipleship is to produce a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Because God desires that when we are learning to walk together, then we are learning to walk differently, that when we are learning to walk through suffering, that we together, individually, become living demonstrations of the truth of the gospel. Let us leave this morning hearing that discipleship is for walking worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we come to you in need, dependent upon you, remembering that, Lord, any imitation we do, any obedience, any work has been preceded by what you have done for us. And we routinely need to be reminded of who you are and what you've done. And we have this opportunity now as we come to your table to be reminded of what you've done for us. So we just come, Lord God, knowing that you are faithful, that you would come and to remind us, strengthen us, feed us, Lord, what we need, the nourishment that we need from you, Lord. And we just come knowing that you are faithful to do so and thanking you for it. Thanking you for this time to come together and to hear from you, your word. And we just thank you now in your son's name. Amen.